The National Housing Co-op Bill is to be presented to Dáil Éireann tomorrow. It is labelled as a friendly vulture fund, and it is in essence a plan to buy up distressed mortgages from banks and let the homes back to the occupiers in a move that's aimed at preventing repossessions of family homes. On the line now is John McGuinness, who's the Fianna Fáil TD for Carlow Kilkenny, who's one of the figures behind the initiative, as is Edmund Honohan, who is the Master of the High Court, who is with me in studio. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome. John McGuinness, I'll go to you first of all. A friendly vulture fund, is there such a thing?
Well, I think it's best to call it what it is, and that's the National Housing Cooperative entity, and that entity will be a benevolent entity. It will be one that will deal sympathetically with the cases as they come from the banks. It will stop the transfer of these loans and properties from financial institutions to vulture funds, and it will keep people in their homes, which is the core reason for the bill. Too many people are now ending up in courts. Their future is uncertain in terms of their house and their home, and therefore this bill, if it were to be passed by the Dáil, would give those people certainty, security, and would keep them in their homes and prevent the growing numbers that are on our housing list and indeed that are homeless.
Who funds the Vulture Fund?
Sorry?
Who funds the Vulture Fund?
Once the entity is set up, it can raise money on the open market. Currently that rate is 1.75%. There's a risk that that's going to increase significantly, so time is of the essence here. And once that fund is made available and raised, then it will be the fund that will purchase from the banks at the same rate as a vulture fund would, the loans and the properties, and that they then will be managed and dealt with on a one-to-one basis by the National Co-op Housing Agency. The raising of the money is critical because it gives the banks a way out also in terms of the bad debt that they have. It enables and could enable that bank, whatever the bank is, to use the funds that is raised by virtue of the purchase of these loans to reinvest in housing and homes at a different level and a different scale. But essentially, we raise the money on the money markets. It is then put to use, and as I said, the core interest in this is that the people would be kept in their own home.
Edmund Honohan, Master of the High Court, why have you chosen to get involved in this?
Oh, it's I think we all have to see to promote the good of society. And in this particular instance, having looked at the position of the various political parties, I decided everybody was in agreement. It's actually public policy that families should be kept in their homes. I know you have it in the two manifestos of the principal parties of the last election. You even have it in Simon Comey's programme, Action Plan for Housing, last July when he published it. In fact, it's of interest, and I brought it in here, that he says that, this is the minister says, that he proposed by early 2017 to set up a special purpose vehicle to acquire properties for onward leasing to local authorities. Now, this is basically what we have is quite an amusing situation. The banks are trying to figure out how to sell these junk mortgages, and the government is trying to figure out how to buy them. Now, it shouldn't take a genius to figure out how to do this. So I got involved because I'm a lawyer and I deal with these cases on a regular basis, and I can see the angles, and I know the law from, you know, way back in the middle of the last century. And it's not that difficult. It's not magic law to produce a mechanism which is not a compulsory purchase mechanism. In fact, I've described it somewhere as a non-compulsory purchase order. It's basically, in modern parlance, it's a call option which would entitle the new co-op to first dibs, if you like, first refusal, when a bank or a vulture fund seeks to sell the mortgage. They must notify the co-op, and the co-op is allowed then to make an offer. Now, the banks can then refuse. So there's no compulsion involved.
I was going to make that point. If you end up in an auction with another vulture fund for buying properties, is that a cycle that you can afford to get into, whereby you have the good co-op versus the bad vulture fund are trying to outbid each other for the right purpose, in your case, for the purpose of making a profit in the other?
I think it's a little naive to think that vulture funds are going to compete against one another. In fact, what's happening is, rather bizarrely, the banks have reached the end of the road in relation to how they're keeping their bad mortgages on their balance sheets. The ECB is telling them to get them off the balance sheets. Likewise, the vulture funds, funnily enough, who are funded from abroad, are being pressurised to flip their loan books, the portfolios, to get out of the Irish market and to move elsewhere where there are better profits. So they want to get the profit that's already built in at this stage. And they too, funnily enough, are trying to sell their loan books. You can see that rather ironically, some of them are being sold back to Irish investors, which is rather sad. But in any event, the mechanism that's proposed in the bill deals with that in an entirely open and transparent way, that if in fact the non-compulsory purchase order, the call option, is rejected by the vendor, you then have a situation where the individual property will have to be marketed openly on the open market to allow all and sundry to assess the value and to put in a bid. Now, you'll find, actually, you might think, oh gosh, this is going to be very expensive, but it's market value we're talking about here, and the money, the interest rate at which you can borrow the money to buy it at market value is well below what these poor mortgagors are having to pay at subprime interest rates or penal interest rates. So it's clearly a profitable venture.
The plan is to acquire all principal dwelling house loans and all buy-to-let residential loans in arrears over 360 days. Now, that's a huge amount of properties. Do we know how many roughly we're talking about?
Yes, we certainly know it's in excess of 50,000, probably more like 75,000.
And to raise that much money is going to be a challenge?
No, funnily enough, again, it's a question of what the rate of interest is. Can you actually provide security for the loan you're borrowing? And is the business model sufficient to allow for the repayment of the loan on the terms agreed? I actually like to call this a crowdfunding project, because in fact, technically, it's the homeowners, the mortgagors who are going to be paying rent. They will be the crowd who will fund the investment costs of the borrowing. Borrowing is not just from the EIB, you know. It's not as if there's only one big bank out there in Europe which can lend us money. There are international money markets looking around for rates of interest. If they can get more than 1%, they're only delighted.
Yeah, and particularly in the current market.
Yeah.
John McGuinness, why hasn't this been done? The altruistic reasons why Edmund Honan's getting involved have been outlined, but politicians have had an opportunity to do this as well. Why are they reluctant?
Well, it's not that they're reluctant. We've had many, many debates on this, and people have come up with different versions of a solution to this problem. And what this bill is doing is it's drawing from all of that debate, and it's putting in place a common sense approach to what is a huge problem for the best part of, 75,000 families. So it sounds as if this is a very complex matter that can't be resolved. But yet, when we put our mind to it, with the help of Ed Honohan, it is clear that the bill as structured can deliver on what it promises. And the money markets are now changing to the extent that money is available. And the only thing that's not changing is the hardship for the people who have borrowed over their ability to pay. And this bill, and the manner in which it's funded, will buy those loans, it will secure their properties, and it will give people the opportunity to get back into a more productive society and economy, because they no longer will be worrying about their loans. But it also relieves the banks of something in the region of 16.5 billion euro worth of debt, which they're desperately trying to offload. And all this bill is doing is standing between the vulture funds and the borrower and the banks. And it is common sense to allow this to happen. And it will take workloads from the bank, it will take bad debt from the bank, and it will take the queues away from the repossession courts that are going on all over the country that are not satisfactory and that are not giving the outcomes that are desired.
Edmund Honan.
Yeah, I think there's a real reason why, one single reason why the politicians haven't really grasped this at this stage, and that is because up till now we've really only had a phony war. The banks have not actually been pursuing possession orders, and they form 93% of the market. The vulture funds are only 7%. So the banks are now trying to decide how much more of their bad loans are going to be transferred to the vulture funds. But up till now, the banks have been holding back. They've been holding in reserve. The numbers of repossessions have been very, very small, a few hundred every quarter. Most of them have been voluntary repossessions. Now, the vulture funds, if they get hold of another 20, 30% of the stock, are going to go with a different business model, and they're going to present their legal paperwork to the courts and say, get on with it. It's only then that the politicians will sit up and realise that they've a disaster, we're facing a cliff edge.
But this is keeping money in Ireland as well. It is keeping people in their homes. It is keeping investment in Ireland. This organisation or entity will be a non-for-profit entity. The monies will go back into the whole housing area, which requires substantial change and reform anyway. I think that when it's presented tomorrow at the Oireachtas Committee, it will be the first time that it has been aired in detail and in public. And from then on, we will look for the cooperation of the political system and the Dáil and the support right across the political parties. We are seeking support from every single political party willing to modify the bill, to change it if necessary for the better, but to ensure that the core intention of the bill, which is to secure people in their homes, is one that is not lost.
Jonathan.
So therefore, I hope that the passage of this bill will be supported across the political divide.
Jonathan, I think another reason is because it has not yet been recognised that these are not homeless people. They are the hidden homeless people who have lost the right to stay in their houses, who are waiting a knock on the door, a phone call. They are in terror of losing the home. They are the hidden homeless who will end up on our streets unless an institutional, an industrial solution to their problems is found.
An intervention at this point. You, in your role as Master Edmund Honan, you see little bits of this coming through to you, I'd imagine. You see the...
I do now, yes. I see people coming in with late appeals against circuit court orders, and really it's quite desperate, the amount of work we have to put in to see if everything was done by the book in the circuit court. At the end of the day, I often say to them, look, what is your exit strategy here? How do you propose to win the case? And in most instances, they say, really, we just want an opportunity to renegotiate. We'd like, you know, affordable terms. These people, let's remember, are subprime borrowers who really should never have been given a mortgage in the first place. They should have been given social housing 10, 12 years ago. Now they're here, they say, all I can afford is, you know, a third of what's being demanded of me. And, you know, government action must, through legislation, cater for that.
The law, as it stands, can't cater for it in many cases. The law is the law.
Anybody can buy the old mortgage books, but you can't compulsorily acquire them. Most solutions that have been offered to date have been solutions which impose terms and conditions on the banks. And they're quite happy to say, well, you can try that if you like, just like as they have done in relation to the interest rates and the central bank control. But it's actually interfering with our contractual rights under the Constitution to impose terms. Now, the terms of a contract in relation to a mortgage are set either by the contract or by general law. They can be changed by legislation, provided you don't disproportionately interfere with the property rights and provided it's for the common good. And my proposal goes much further than a simple compulsory purchase order. It's a non-compulsory option, and I think it's unobjectionable.
Well, the only thing that might lead to objections, John McGuinness, is maybe a lack of political will. You talk about how you're hoping that you'll get cross-party support here, but... Well, yes, the certain things will raise their hazard again. More incentive not to pay your mortgage. Moral hazard. Follow the money. State pays again.
There's none of that, Jonathan. The fact of the matter is that, you know, you go back to 2016 for the base rate and so on and the value. The individuals that are concerned here have a mortgage that is seriously in distress. And their lives, in fact, are in distress because they can't cope with that mortgage and working. This will give an opportunity for the National Co-op Housing Agency to examine the ability of that person to repay a part of that loan. And over a period of time, at the interest rates that we're talking about, that loan can be worked out. It may very well be that there will have to be some form of postponement of payment. But it is up to the entity to work that out with the individual borrower. And you have to weigh all of this against the fact that these individuals are turning up in county registrar courts, which I attend on a regular basis. And they sit there for half the day. They then have their case adjourned. There are barristers and solicitors on the other side for the lending institution. And it takes up a huge amount of state time. It is a complete waste of money. And it also is a terrible burden on a single family to deal with.
This particular
benevolent entity will deal with these cases in a completely different way.
Okay, well, we have a listener here that says they took out their loans, now you want the state to pay for it, taxpayers. That's not what you're saying. You're saying that this money is raised on the open market.
The open market. The entity will deal with each individual borrower. A course will be taken to ensure that they pay back the borrowings that they have. The interest rates will be drastically reduced because of the fact that you're borrowing in a different marketplace. And the entity itself will be constructed in a way that's favourable towards the borrower. Unlike now, where the banks have the upper hand and the banks are dealing in almost an inhumane way with those people that are caught in this particular situation.
Okay.
You have to remember one last thing. We've gone past way past moral hazard here. The Irish taxpayer picked up €65 billion for the banks. And we have to remember that as each and every taxpayer is having to pay that back.
Edmund Honohan, can I put to you, if this doesn't happen, what's the outcome?
The outcome is many, many more houses will be sold to, and portfolios will be sold to, the vulture funds, the private investment funds, and they will move to get their pound of flesh. And that is repossession orders, evictions, which we haven't talked about here in this country for a long time, evictions, which cost the state an awful lot of money. Cost the state. We were talking about actually spending millions of euro evicting people from their homes for the benefit of vulture funds.
So
it's bizarre.
Of the tens of thousands of homes that we're talking about here, you think a lot of them will face eviction in the years to come?
That's the business model of the Vulture Fund.
So tens of thousands of people will lose their homes unless we do something.
Yeah.
Okay, it's an interesting point. John McGuinness.
It's estimated that up to 17,000 people face eviction. And what's being lost here in the argument, people say, well, evictions may happen. The threat of eviction is happening every single week in our courts. And there are lists of people there that have to go and defend themselves on their own without legal advice or without legal representation. And these people are put at a huge disadvantage because the vulture funds and the banks have the money. It is stacked against them. What this benevolent entity is doing is it's stacking the case in favour of the citizen, acknowledging the responsibility of the person towards that loan and towards that mortgage.
All right, and it's just rebalancing the whole process, I would imagine. The matter comes before an Oireachtas committee tomorrow when it will be discussed for the first time in Leinster House. John McGuinness, just before we let you go, just can I ask your thoughts on the ongoing situation with regard to Máire Whelan, of course, the former Attorney General, and her appointment to the Court of Appeal. Do you think that Fine Gael pulled a stroke?
I do, and I think that it's bizarre the way the whole matter is being treated, as if it were something that is normal. The fact of the matter, and I've no dispute, by the way, in relation to Máire Whelan's credentials and her ability to do the job, this is about how the process was entered into. And in fact, you know, we don't know how many names were there. We're told that there was three. We're told that Taoiseach introduced the name of Máire Whelan. We're told that there was unanimity at the cabinet meeting. And yet we have all the independents that are now calling for a review of the process. It's clear that Máire Whelan will now be appointed at some stage today in a formal way. But we have to question the process by which judges are appointed. And it is wrong this particular judge was appointed.
They're doing that. They're at pains to tell us how they're doing that. They just haven't done it yet.
Well, that's the problem, Jonathan. Like, how many times are we going to talk about reform in this country and then not do it? The public are crying out for reform of the various institutions that are represented in this state. The politicians have promised that reform, and they have not delivered. In fact, they promised the reform, as was outlined in relation to our previous discussion about these funds and how people should be kept in their own homes, but they did nothing about it. It took a group of interested, passionate individuals to come forward with Ed Honan to clear this.
Okay,
have to have better processes in this country and reform them.
And can I just ask you, is there disagreement within Fianna Fáil as to whether this is an election issue, the Máire Whelan issue, rather than what we're talking about here today?
No, there isn't. The fact is that, you know, I would have said many times I'd like to see an election to try and clear up the what's going on in the Dáil. It's a non-productive Dáil. There's nothing happening. There's very poor legislation emerging, if any. and the committee structure is not working.
And it would be the land of milk and honey if we had another general election?
No, I think that what we have to focus on here is what needs to be done in terms of reform. And we need to take action in relation to all of the issues that face us and the scandals, indeed, within the Gardaí and elsewhere. If that doesn't happen, if the government is reluctant to do that, then the only option is the general election. You can't have a government there that is supervising scandal after scandal, where it's coming out in the Public Accounts Committee what's going on, where there's questions of the use of public monies. You can't have that going on. So if the government refuses to function, refuses to reform and get on with the business of the Dáil and deal with the issues that are facing people in their lives, then yes, there is a need for a general election.
John McGuinness, Fianna Fáil TD for Carlow Kilkenny, and Edmund Honan, Master of the High Court, on that earlier topic. Thank you both very much for joining us, gentlemen.